Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us today. God's blessings on your worship.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church. Today is Illinois. Welcome to those of you watching us at home. This is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, but here on the first Sunday in October, it's also around here on the LWML Sunday. And so you can see we have our ladies' aides sitting up here in the front, and they all have their purple outfits on. So that's the color of the day. We have purple bulletins, and we are celebrating the work of the Holy Spirit through this organization, Lutheran Women in Mission, supporting mission work, not just here locally, but also all around the world. And so we're going to get to talk about that, just being ready to serve, and we're going to hear from Luke chapter 1, which is normally we associate with the Christmas story. We're going to hear a little bit about how Mary, the mother of our Lord, was ready to serve. And that can serve as an example for the rest of us. So for our special order of worship, you'll need mostly this bulletin, which hopefully you see from your way in. And you'll also need your MPs for the words to most of the things. And this liturgy will, for the most part, follow divine service setting forward. So I'll invite you to stand as we begin our worship with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? We are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and grace, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given the Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins, as we call our ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our intro. Say to the daughter of Zion, I will bless the Lord at all times. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as He was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Say to the daughter of Zion, today we return to hymn number 795, Voices Raised to You We Offer, and just know that we'll be singing them two different tunes, the tune of Lord Dismiss Us with Your Blessing. Thank you. Lord be with you. Let us pray together in the collect of the dead. We pray, Almighty God, you announce your will for us in mysterious ways. We pray that, as Mary once heard and accepted the angel's message of your will, we too may hear your call. Respond with full faith and willingness to serve. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. Old Testament reading, which was chosen for this year's LWA Sunday, is from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the boy, Samuel, was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent visit. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel arose, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls, he shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our faith. This morning we shall do so using the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to yourselves, both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I just may be seated. Our next hymn is going to have words that are maybe not familiar to you about this singing that we don't normally sing, but it is one that goes along with the words of the LWNL pledge. Since this year, we have part of the Christmas gospel as our gospel reading as our sermon text. It makes sense that we would use this hymn because it's sung to the tune of the Holy Child Bethlehem. So let us sing praise, love, serve. For our sermon today is that gospel reading from Luke chapter 1, which itself is part of the Christmas story, the part where the angel Gabriel announces to the Virgin Mary that she is to give birth to the Messiah, something that certainly caused her some anxiety. And you can see that she was greatly troubled at the same time she has questions. But she has this faithful response that indicates that she is ready to serve her. So for that reason, we have this opportunity to look at Mary's story and connect that to the ways that we are all called to serve our Heavenly Father. It's an appropriate thing for us to consider on LWNL Sunday. So this is our text. And right away here at the outset, I also want to say There's a note in your bulletin today that the Elder Canal Sunday materials this year were prepared by Reverend Dr. Dwayne Luke, who serves as the North Wisconsin District President. The sermon that you're about to hear is my own, but I just wanted to make sure you all knew that the overall theme, the structure, some of his notes and ideas are incorporated into what I'm about to say. I wanted to make sure that he got appropriate credit for it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and dear members of our Trinity loyalty lady, ready to serve. That's the theme. That's a pretty good theme for LW Sunday, if you ask me. It's pretty much perfectly encapsulates everything that the Lutheran Women's Missionary League stands for and has stood for the last 82 years. Some of you know that it's these ladies know this for sure, but I'm going to have an opportunity to spend a little bit more time with our LW Metal ladies on the district level, because just a couple weeks ago, at their district convention, I was elected to serve as one of the two pastoral counselors for the Southern Illinois District of the LW Metal. And so for the next 4 years, I'll have this opportunity to see what being ready to serve looks like on a whole new level. Looking out at all the purple in front of me and thinking about that district convention reminds me of something that happened a couple of weeks ago, praise the Lord. So I was there and I was helping with the worship service that took place in the morning. And so as I and several other pastors were getting together, just talking through the logistics of the service, we were standing up the front by where they had the altar set up. And one of the pastors asked me if I would be willing to carry the processional cross, which of course I was happy to do. So, Christ the Rock's amazing was not set up the way a traditional sanctuary like this one was set up. So, there were tables everywhere, and there was not one center aisle going down in the middle of everyone. So, it wasn't readily obvious to me where this processional was going to lead, like where exactly what route we had to take to get from the back to the front. So I asked one of the pastors where we were going to start and where we were going to go, and he kind of pointed and he said, well, we're going to start over there. You see that lady that's standing up over there? I'm like, yeah, there's lots of ladies that are standing up over there. And so I'm like, well, which one? He goes, well, she's the one that's wearing purple. They're all wearing purple. You're going to have to be more specific. But, you know, in all seriousness, purple outfits are not just indicating that you are members of some organization. It's not just purple is one of the things that shows all of us here that you are ready to serve. And not just that, but ready to serve wherever and whenever the Lord has need of you, which is what we say in the LW Metal Pledge. And what exactly that kind of service will look like will change depending on the circumstances and the situation. So like I said, I'm going to have this insight into what it looks like on the district level. The way that the LWML is structured, you have a national level and a district level. And of course, there's the local societies and individual congregations. But on those upper levels, being ready to serve might look like literally millions of dollars of mission grant money, which is used year after year to support some amazing ministries here in Southern Illinois, but all around the world too. If you're curious as to what some of those ministries are, we have in your purple bulletin today, there are two whole pages which list for you the mission grants that are being supported in this district and the mission grants that are being supported nationally. It's really amazing to look and see where all that money goes. But it's not all just about money. So being ready to serve in a very real way, it also affects your personal lives here in the local congregation, right? And the number one thing, I know you ladies do quite a few things, but one thing that jumps to my mind right away, where you always have to be ready to serve, is in those funeral functions that you take care of so graciously. When you have families that are grieving right here So often you have to plan those lunches at a moment's notice. Funeral planning is usually last minute kind of planning. I know there's many people here who have personally benefited from you all being ready to serve. So we really appreciate that. Being ready to serve requires a lot of personal sacrifice. It's not necessarily easy. It requires time, it requires effort. And so when you are ready to serve, it's a great reminder to the rest of us of how we all ought to be when our Heavenly Father calls us. And I love having that Old Testament reading as part of our LWO Sunday this year. The call of Samuel, right? Being called by the Lord multiple times. And each time he thinks it's Eli calling, but he is ready to serve, right? It's here I am. And finally, after Eli explains to him, he knows that it's the Lord that has been to him. So, all that being said, let's turn to that scripture verse that we have as a sermon text, as our theme text from the Gospels from Luke chapter 1. I know we're not used to thinking about this sort of thing on the first Sunday in October, and believe me, I know that every year it seems like the Christmas season comes earlier, and I don't mean to contribute to that in any sort of negative way. But if we're going to have a whole day where we think about people who are just ready to serve, how can we not talk about them? The mother of our Lord. When God sends his angel Gabriel to call upon her, Mary responds in faith and trust in her Lord. And her willingness to serve, her readiness to serve, that's what ultimately leads in the end to granting this earth the ultimate servant in Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, but also the Son of Mary. The one who would give his life as a ransom for many, as a servant for many. But that service comes, like I said, with personal sacrifice. In the case of Jesus, it's the greatest personal sacrifice. Now, at the time of this text in Luke chapter 1, Mary must have been probably around 14 or 15-ish, something like that. She's engaged, she's betrothed, she's been married, but she's not married yet. And so what is laid before her here is an extremely daunting task. What God is asking her to do is not. It makes sense that she would be troubled by this. It makes sense that she might have been a little scared of what was about to happen. But Gabriel says to her, starting in verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. You have found favor with God." Now, let's make sure we understand what that means, what Jesus was actually saying to her here. What does it mean to find favor with God? It doesn't mean that Mary was holy. It doesn't mean that Mary is somehow without sin because she has original sin that she inherited from her parents, she inherited from their parents, etc., etc. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that Mary was immaculately conceived. It doesn't mean that we should be praying to her like other Christians do or anything like that. The reason why Mary, or any individual, could find favor with God is only ever because they have faith in God. Because we trust in God. So Mary's readiness to serve comes because she already has this wonderful trust in her Lord. And we see the way this plays out. Yes, Mary does ask the obvious question. Right? Verse 34, how will this be? Since I'm a virgin, she doesn't understand how this could happen. But she gets her answer from the angel. The answer that this conception will be a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit, that the power of the Most High will overshadow her, and therefore this child will not inherit the original sin that has plagued mankind since the days of Adam and Eve. Which all of that sounds crazy, all of that sounds impossible, but then Gabriel sums it up by saying, nothing will be impossible with God. And after all of that, Mary's response is one of truth. Verse 38, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Your own words, but it is faith. Wherever and whenever the Lord had need of her, she was ready to serve. She was a woman of faith. She believed that this message that Gabriel delivered to her was ultimately the message that God was delivering. You fast forward 9 months or so, and that faithful response of Mary ends up culminating in the birth of the child who came to save this whole world. In and of itself, is what this really is all about. This is how this is supposed to work. We can't all have such a unique vocation and calling, right? We can't all be called to give birth to the Messiah, but especially as you live saved, whenever you are called to serve your neighbor in any sort of way, great or small. Ultimately, what that does is it ends up delivering Jesus to your neighbor in a different kind of way. Right? When you love your neighbor, you deliver Jesus to them. And when you deliver Jesus to them, Jesus helps them to serve them in greater ways than you can imagine. So Jesus comes as our ultimate servant. Jesus gives himself this really great job description. He says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life to ransom for men. Jesus was ready to serve when he taught people, when he healed people. Jesus, of course, was ultimately ready to serve as he goes to the cross and dies for the world. When he rises from the grave to bring us salvation, he is the true servant, capital S. The true servant. He makes what would have been impossible possible. He opens up eternal life to all who trust in him. That is good news for people like you and me. Our sins forgiven. Our debt paid. We in the valley of the shadow of death, get to live forever because Jesus first served us with his life. That's also the sort of image that comes through our epistle in Philippians chapter 2. We get this image of Jesus humbling himself, taking on the form of a servant. And because Jesus was willing to do that, what it leads to is that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Certainly that will happen in a very real way on the last day. We don't have to wait for the last day for this image of Jesus as our servant to be reality, or for us to be ready to serve him in response. We look at these examples, the example of Mary and her dad, we can look at the example of an organization like the LWL, we realize that this being ready to serve is a God-pleasing attitude to have, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing or what you're called to do, no matter whether you're wearing purple and sitting up in front of the pulpit today or not, we all stand ready to serve. We all stand to serve with joy. And like I said, that readiness then delivers Jesus into the world. A very real way. A world that desperately needs. So it's very good for me that we have this opportunity every year to take a Sunday and recognize the example of Lutheran women in mission to give them support as they serve the Lord with gladness, which they've been doing since 1942, encouraging and equipping women to live out their Christian lives, active in mission ministries, supporting global missions. The goal for National LWL through 2025 is to raise $2.3 million in Mite money, which hopefully you all saw the Mite box that that are doing that on your way out today, 100% of the money that's put in those boxes is combined with my boxes and other congregations all over this country. All of that is counted toward that $2.3 billion goal. It's really amazing. So all of us together, by contributing to that, we show that we are ready to serve. Our response to Jesus' service of us, our response as baptized children of God, is to be one of service. Or as Mark Luther expressed it in the Small Catechism, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in his everlasting righteousness, peace, and blessedness. Ready to serve. And always, thanks be to God. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in your faith in Christ Jesus. This time I'm going to invite the members of our Ladies' Day to sing and everyone else to stay seated. We are all going to say the LWML pledge together, which is printed for you in your bulletin. In fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love and his blood-bought gift of redemption, dedicate ourselves to him with all that we are and have, and in obedience to his call for workers in the harvest fields, we pledge him our willing service wherever and whenever he has needed us. We consecrate to our Savior our hands to work for him, our feet to go on his errands, our voice to sing his praises, our lips to proclaim his redeeming love, our silver and our gold to extend his kingdom, our will to do his will, and every power of our life to the great task of bringing the lost and the erring into eternal fellowship with him. Thank you, and the rest of the congregation can stand. We have one prayer update for you. We've been praying for Roland Sachsmeyer, and we received word last Sunday evening that he had passed away. That's the uncle of the ancient speaker. There will be a memorial service planned for Roland coming up after this one in November. But let us hold his family in prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Loving Father, your Son took the little children into his arms and blessed them. Help your saints to welcome little ones with joy, that nothing may hinder their entrance into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you give us men who are ready to serve your church on earth. We ask for your blessing upon the man Harrison, our Senate President, Tim Shaw, our District President, Art Eichhorn, our Supreme, and all other pastors together with the many servants and treasures of your church. Bless all of our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregations in St. Luke's, Lutheran, and Covington, and their pastor, Tim Miller. And we once again lift before you all of our Lutheran women in mission today, and ask that you would graciously bless their ministry efforts, and the mite box offerings collected here today throughout the city would bear good fruit in the coming weeks and months. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, sustain all fathers, mothers, and children, husbands and wives, friends and neighbors, laborers and employers, teachers, students. Enable us all to serve our neighbors in godly vocations, delight in the Lord's loving kindness. Bless those who are working during this busy harvest season, and continue to bless us favorable weather, grant safety to those whose work is difficult or dangerous. Lord, in your mercy, Father, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings to us. We glorify your name on behalf of all of our celebrating birthdays this week, including Nina, Carly, Hunter, Rob, and Whitney. Bless them in this upcoming year and beyond, Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, grant your wisdom to our nation's presidents, to all public servants, to those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection to this and every place, that they may be strengthened and upheld in every good deed. Watch over and protect our military, especially those who are connected to this congregation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Orb, Joyce, Daniel, Finley, and Michael. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, you promise to abide with your people and uphold them in their suffering. We ask you for mercy on behalf of those who have been affected by the recent hurricane in North Carolina and the surrounding area, and those who may be in the pathway of another hurricane that's coming. We grant to them the peace that passes all understanding. Comfort all who are sick and sorrowing, especially all who are on prayer lists this day, including those who are in care facilities, Dorothy, Greta, Eula, Jean, Charles, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Don, Jim, Marvin, Amy, Tyson, Ronnie, Grace, Grant, Linda, Jeff, Nancy, John, Butch, Laverne, Elizabeth, and all those who are facing cancer. Strengthen their faith in the midst of their trials, grant them health and healing according to your good and gracious will. Comfort those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Roland Saxon. Remind them that your son Jesus will return in the last day, and we look forward to the day of resurrection when we will be reunited with our loved ones who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, your son gives us his very body and blood to eat and drink in the supper. Grant us your grace that we may approach your table with repentant hearts and a firm resolution to amend our sinful lives by the help of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, help us by your Spirit to fear you and walk in your ways in Christ, that we may eat the fruit of the labor of our hands and receive your blessing in all that we do through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the same Holy Spirit, one God, and now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I would like to invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord for their tithes and offerings. Thank you. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we love and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a simple animal, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and ask his promise. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it all. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This is as often as we drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. Already at the end of this month, October 27th, that will be our next family night, our annual pumpkin carving night, one of our favorite events of the whole year. And this is for all ages. We hope you can come and join us. And we'll once again feature a potluck, full potluck, nothing provided. So we just eat whatever you bring. And it's always good, it's always fun. And then we carve our pumpkins together. So mark that on your calendars, 5:30 to 7:30. For Sunday, October 27th. Anything else that needs to be highlighted today? Kurt, we have men's choir rehearsal tonight. Thank you, Kurt. We're getting together 7 o'clock this evening. Okay, men's choir at 7 o'clock. Yes, Mrs. Wallenberg. October 19th, Sterling Evening at Christ the Rock. And a little birdie told me that it's also Christmas Eve, so it's Christmas in October all month long. So, yep, we hope you can go and support our local different high school. Thank you. Anything else?
Thank you for joining us.
We hope to see you again next week.